Well, good evening. It's lovely to be back with you here in Bethany and Paisley. Always a privilege to be with you, and it's an extra special privilege to open the Word of God and to be part of the study you're doing in the Gospel according to John. And of course, we're in chapter 3 this evening. And I want to just title this wee message, The Process of Salvation. Do we understand the process of salvation? You know, we like to share things with people. Some more than others enjoy a good conversation, a good chat, the chance to share and catch up with what has been going on. You know, we like to talk about our families. We like to perhaps say what they're doing and how they're getting on in school, education, or in work and things like that. We also, perhaps tomorrow when we go back to work, we'll share with our colleagues what we got up to over the weekend. We enjoy these conversations. We enjoy the fact that we can talk with people and just exchange some of the things that have been going on. And of course, things like family life and work life and even what we do at the weekend might not be the most exciting, but they're part and parcel of what we get up to, part and parcel of who we are and what we do. But of course, some things are a lot more exciting to share. Yesterday I was out and about. It was my brother's stag do, and I was a bit bored because nobody was speaking to me, which was a shame because I had a lot to say. But I knew nobody except my two brothers. And at one point, I was on my own, and I just looked up the internet on my phone, and I saw that Simon Cowell was returning to the X Factor this year. So immediately I texted my wife to say, "You'll be really happy, Simon Cowell's coming back." The response that I got wasn't one of joy, wasn't one of thanks for telling me that. She said, "You're the fourth person to have told me that already today." You know, so even though I thought it was exciting, it perhaps wasn't that great. But of course, some things are more interesting. Yesterday, I had the pleasure at dinner of sitting beside a former professional footballer, somebody who has played in the Premier League, somebody who's scored goals at Ibrox, and even played, albeit losing, in the Scottish Cup final. And it was just interesting at the table. We were all ready to sit and listen to what this chap had to say. His name was Kenny Duker. You might have heard of him. And he was only too pleased to share the stories that he'd picked up through his career as a footballer. And of course, he was able to share that he, as a youngster, had played against Ali McCoist. And then as he was a bit older, he'd played against David Beckham. And so everybody was just enthralled at the stories that he had to tell. And this exchange of information went on most of the evening. But I wonder, as we come to God's Word this evening, as we come to perhaps one of the most famous chapters in all of Scripture, do we get excited about sharing the gospel, the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ has given each and every one of us? You know, we will have many opportunities through our life just to share something of the goodness that we have received from God. And the truth be told, if you're like me, there will be many opportunities missed when perhaps I felt, "Oh, I wish I'd said something." But God is gracious, and God gives us time and time again the chance to serve him. But we have to ask ourselves, what can we do better to serve God in sharing the truth of the message of salvation? And we come to this passage that is well known, this man Nicodemus. He comes to meet with Jesus, and he comes to discuss with the Lord Jesus just some of the things that are perhaps puzzling him. And he leaves the presence of the Son of God on a path that would see him return another two times in the book of John. And we trust, of course, that he went on to be saved. But what we can find from the first few verses is that there is a definite process to salvation. It is not magical. It's supernatural, of course, because it comes from God. God can save any way that he chooses, and he can save anybody that he chooses to save. We cannot limit God. And of course, we should work with patience. But what we can find in this passage is that there are key elements to this thing that we call salvation. And what we mean by salvation is somebody who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ with repentance. Somebody who comes with recognition of who he truly is. And somebody who will leave knowing that they have been restored to God by having faith in what Jesus Christ achieved on the cross at Calvary. So let's read the first couple of verses together as we think about the first step in the process of salvation. It's this idea that we come we come to Christ. Verse 1, and I'm reading in the New International Version. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." The first thing that Nicodemus does is he comes. He perhaps doesn't know why he comes. He perhaps doesn't know who's coming to in all fullness. But he comes. He sees there is something different. He sees that there is something important and worthwhile about Jesus. And he comes and he wants to speak with him. And he wants to find out things. And he knows that he can trust what Jesus is going to say, because in his heart of hearts, Nicodemus believes that God is with him. The evidence has been there. Now, as I've said, Nicodemus is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible, and his name would translate as conqueror of the people. But beyond the fact he was a Pharisee, beyond the fact he was a member of the ruling council, we don't know all that much about Nicodemus. Many people have speculated as to where he's come from and where he ended up. But the truth is, we are introduced to him in chapter 3, and he plays his part in one of the most memorable passages in John's Gospel. He desired to be able to speak with Jesus. And one of the things as we serve God, in whatever ministries we find ourselves in, and whatever walk of life we spend most of our time, we serve God, I trust, with a desire and a passion to see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we will meet and we will deal with many different people from many different walks of life. People who are dealing with emptiness, people who are dealing with hopelessness, people who perhaps don't see that they have any worth to this world or any other world. People who have difficulties in all walks of life. You know, we may never know why people want to come to Jesus. But we have to understand that the first part, the first step in the journey to knowing God is to come. And of course, background is irrelevant. We perhaps know very little about the people that come, just as we know so little about Nicodemus. But what does Jesus do? How does Jesus accept this Pharisee, this man Nicodemus? Now, we know from other parts of the scripture that Jesus had very little time for the Pharisees. Whitened sepulchres, he called them, whitened tombstones, nest of vipers. Christ could see through the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, but Nicodemus comes, and does Jesus torment him? Does Jesus send him away? Does Jesus rebuke him? No, Jesus is ready to speak to him. So just as we might not know very much about people, Christ, he knows everything about everybody that comes to him. What we can be certain about is that whoever is interested in Jesus Christ, there is a message there that is for them. Do we truly believe that the message of Jesus Christ is so valuable and so important and pertinent to people that we are ready to share it? We are ready to tell them that this is the Son of God that we're dealing with. And I'm ashamed to say there have been times in my life where I would rather do anything but talk about Jesus. Last night I found myself in the most awkward of situations. Now, I'm not one for going out of a Saturday night, and the only reason I was there was it was my brother's stag do and I had to show some family solidarity, but there was just this feeling, because I'm the one that's performing the ceremony in a few weeks, and I was getting asked all sorts of questions. Why do you go to church? Why do you believe in that rubbish that is in the Bible? Why is the Bible so dictatorial about our lives? All these questions coming. And it was overwhelming to try and deal with this in a crowd of people who did not believe and a crowd of people who were out to make fun of what they could find in the Bible. But in it all, I was reminded of this. The value in the message of the gospel is so important to each and every person that is in this world. If I'm being honest, last night was a bit of a failure. It was very hard to deal with those circumstances. But I became all the more obvious to me that what Jesus Christ has is for everybody. And that might be hard to accept. Sometimes we feel that we're not equipped to deal with people who are drug addicts, people who have addiction problems, people who are attracted to the same sex. And we wish that we could perhaps sweep them under the carpet and not deal with these problems. But look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He accepted everybody who came to him willingly. And with Nicodemus, he wasn't ready to throw him out. He wasn't ready to ignore him, but to speak to him and to minister to him. We have to accept that we will deal with people that we find hard to understand. But in some ways, we don't really need to worry about understanding the people, because the Lord understands. And it is the Lord who has the message, and it is the Lord who has brought salvation. We need to come. The background doesn't matter, the person doesn't matter, but the way in which people come to Jesus Christ does matter.